Welcome to the day we celebrate Jesus' parade. Yeah. The Jesus Parade. That's what I decided to title this. Jesus' parade today. Palm Sunday. Who doesn't really love a good parade? Other than Pastor Tosh. I've tried, people. Do you like a parade? Yeah. But who else, other than Pastor Tosh, doesn't love a good parade, right? Right. They're spectacular. They're fun. Today, we get to celebrate Jesus' parade as he comes into Jerusalem for the very last time. This was a parade for a king, wasn't it? Yeah, parade for a king. Did you guys know that as humans, we've been doing parades for thousands of years? You know you're going to get a history lesson on parades, don't you? Thousands of years, we've been having so much fun at parades. Parades are recorded as early as 3000 BC. I can't believe we've been having this much fun for so long, but we have. Parades back in the day often had to do with military exploits. You can probably imagine that, right? Either before battle, for encouraging soldiers before battle, or when they came back from battle, celebrating the victory, showing off their spoils, etc., and so forth. But we do parades for different things now, right, in our world, for all kinds of different things, to celebrate an important event or an important person, maybe. I think of Macy's Day Parade. Yeah. The Rose Bowl Parade. The inaugural parade. The Gasparilla Parade, if you live in Tampa. Oh, if everybody wants that one. We do these things to celebrate things like Christmas, Thanksgiving and Christmas with the Macy's Day Parade, football, yeah, of course, with the Rose Bowl, a new president being inaugurated, and of course we must celebrate important things like a pirate's invasion. Okay, well, anyway, very important events. Jesus came into Jerusalem, had a little parade for a really big and important event, right? Much bigger than football, much bigger than a pirate's invasion. The biggest of events was going to be happening this week. And it was celebrated victoriously as Jesus comes in to Jerusalem. And I will say the crowd had no idea what all was going to go down, but we know now, don't we? And we can today celebrate what we know is going to be happening. As Jesus was about to complete his mission, right? He's going to endure the cross on Friday and then Sunday, empty tomb, so we can all have eternal life through him. Awesome stuff. The best event to celebrate with a parade. Agreed. Got the right crowd today. I love you. Love it. So parades today often have some elements. When you think of a parade, there's probably elements of those parades that you think about. Things that I thought of were a grand marshal. We usually throw things out, candy or beads, right? Floats, big, massive floats, especially the Rose Bowl, right? Mardi Gras, even if you think of that. Forgot about Mardi Gras. And of course, the very important marching band. Those are just some elements of a parade. And I know Jesus' parade didn't literally have all those things, those four things that I just mentioned, but I think he kind of had them. You guys want to hear my thoughts on those four things and how Jesus had them? I love you guys. Before we do that, before I get into those elements of the parade, let's read the parade, shall we? Let's read about it. It's in all the Gospels, every single one of them, all four of them. I picked Mark today because, as I told Pastor Tosh, I just don't think Mark gets enough readings sometimes. This is a short gospel. He was quick in what he was thinking. He wrote things down fast, the highlights and important parts. So a lot of times we go to other gospels. But today, Mark, I'm going to give Mark some airtime. Mark 11, 1 through 11, is where Mark writes about the triumphal entry of Jesus and what his parade looked like. So let's read this together, and then we'll get into my elements. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied in a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, of course they asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. That is Mark's recount of Jesus and what happened on Palm Sunday that we are celebrating today. And no, you didn't hear anything like grand marshal, beads, floats, or marching bands. But I think there's things that are similar. And we're, of course, going to take it on a spiritual level, aren't we? All right, so in our world today, we throw out at parades candy or beads. Here's some actual photos of those things that happen. Candy or beads? When I was a kid, the parade was awesome because I got a bunch of candy. I would knock people over to get that candy. Beads didn't happen until I was later. I was like, what's this about? I want my candy, but okay. Candy. And I had to put this gentleman on a tractor because that looks like my hometown right there. A gentleman throwing candy. That's got to be from Indiana right there. That's got to be, right? Or Iowa. Anyway, this is what we think of when we think of parades today. But Jesus had a different thing that was thrown and waved. What was that, guys? They're palms. Exactly. We had palms. This parade had palms. And palms, just so you know, had very, very, very significant meaning during this time. They were symbols of victory, symbols of triumph. The Greeks did this a long time ago. For people who won athletic events, they would give them palms or make a little crown wreath, that they would put on their heads of palms. Palms were brought to the victor. Palms today, as we look at Palm Sunday, were brought to the victor, Jesus, who was the one that was triumphant over his competitor, death. One article I read said palms symbolized victory with integrity. Ooh, I liked that one. Love that depiction. Jesus, our victor with integrity, the perfect person, coming into town and being showered with palms, representing his victory and his triumph. And the crowd, you got to remember, the crowd thought this was a worldly victory that was going to be happening, didn't they? They didn't know that it was going to be so much better. They thought he was going to come in and just take care of the Romans once and for all, and we're going to be done with that. But that's not at all what happened. Better happened. Spiritually speaking, happened. Jesus entered into that city with so much more on his mind than a political victory. And seeing all those palms, he's probably thinking, oh man, you guys have no idea. I've been trying to teach you, but you have no idea what I'm about to do. His mission wasn't of the worldly type, and it wasn't worldly victory that he was celebrating. It was an eternal victory over sin, wasn't it? It was victory for us to have grace and mercy and a relationship with God. So think about this morning, when you think about this palm. Have you really, when you're waving those palms today as you're singing, have you really accepted the fact you have victory over everything through Jesus? Right? What Jesus did, you've got triumph and victory. You don't have to live in a world where you don't have victory over anything. You've won because Jesus won, and we're on the winning team, right? Think about that. When you see these palms, and you're going to wave them at the last song. I just know you're going to. And as you do that, think about that. We win because Jesus took care of everything, especially Sunday. Please come Sunday, even though you know the end of the story. There's an old hymn we used to sing when I was growing up, Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever. Anybody, people know that. Eunice does. I know she does, right? We have to live in that victory. Live in that victory. Let's wave your palms and say it, man. Live it. Have it in your heart. Victory and triumph. We get to live in that. That's what these palms symbolize. The second element of a parade were the floats. I mentioned the floats. I love a good float. These pictures don't even really do these floats justice. People spend months, sometimes a whole year, working on these floats to get these things ready for. I think the one, Mardi Gras, you know, you got the Rose Bowl parades. I mean, I can't believe that they made one. The top left is the, what is that, Wizard of Oz. Yeah, follow the yellow brick road was what I was going to say, right? They spend a lot of time and energy on these floats. When you think parade, you think this, don't you? Jesus had a float. The donkey. Jesus's float was the donkey. The colt, as Mark says, other gospels say a donkey. A king riding in on a donkey. A little bit different than what we think now, isn't it? What this represented is peaceful entry. A king riding in on a horse would be they were ready for a dominating military presence. They were ready for war. But a king riding in on a donkey represented peace and humility. It was humble and peaceful. Nothing special about this donkey, is it? Peaceful, just like Jesus. It also, other gospels, I can't remember which one, points this out, I think it's Luke, but points out that it fulfills prophecy from Zechariah 9. That says, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. So there's that whole fulfilling prophecy thing yet again. Peace. Jesus rode in peacefully as a king on a humble donkey. He deserved like that, didn't he? But instead, it was this. This final week of Lent is a perfect time to think about Jesus and the peace that he offers for you in your heart. Have you let Jesus be the peace that you need in your life? The peace that passes all understanding, which means the peace that blows your mind, is offered through Jesus. I also don't find it a coincidence at all, because God's cool about this. There's no coincidences. There's only God-cidences. Mary rode into Bethlehem probably on a donkey. It's not in Scripture anywhere. But more than likely, she's 9 months pregnant. She's ready to have a baby. She's probably not walking. She's more than likely riding in on a humble, peaceful, lowly donkey, correct? Jesus rides into Jerusalem for the last time for his death on a lowly, humble donkey. God brings him into this world and takes him out as lowly and humble. And he was that his entire life. And he brings us peace and shows us the peace that he offers to come into our hearts. So have you let Jesus be the peace you need in your life? Good. And if you haven't, please do. It will blow your mind. I also mentioned the element of a marching band. That's right. My favorite element of the parade. for those people who play the flute in here, I know there's a couple. Top right-hand corner, that's a shout-out for you. That's what I used to play in high school. Bands, marching bands, the drum line, the horns, the woodwinds. It's great, right? You hear them coming from down the road. You're like, ooh, ooh, there's the band, there's the band. Well, at least I was. Hey, where's the band? Where's the band? I'll stop immediately for a good marching band. Jesus' parade didn't have a marching band, but it had people singing, didn't it? This was the instrument that was used. And it said, Hosanna, please save us. We're going to get into what this word means. Hosanna means, please save us now. It's a cry for deliverance. Hosanna, please save us now. We sang it in the first song today. It also has a deeper meaning beyond that, meaning more than just, oh, save me. It's a cry for salvation and thanks kind of put all together. Two kind of polar opposites, right? Salvation and thanks coming together in one word, Hosanna. Cries for help and cries of praise all at the same time. It's a cool word, Hosanna. It's typically spoken in a rejoicing fashion, so we did it right today as we're singing. Rejoicing, Hosanna. Another way to look at it, or another phrase or words that you could say instead of Hosanna would be, at last, salvation has come to us. After a long wait, it's finally here. That's what it means. Once again, to my first point, the crowd is thinking of a political move here. They're not understanding the eternal implications and the spiritualness of this. They thought Jesus was coming to save them from the Romans. But Jesus was coming to save us. At last, salvation has come. After a long wait, salvation is finally here. Eternal life is finally here. Thank you. A relationship with God is finally here through Jesus. God had saved them time and 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 time again, if you read the Old Testament, from different people and groups and, you know, their oppressors on this earth. But this time, God was saving them from eternal oppression. It's deeper and so much more than what they had ever thought. They had no idea, unbeknownst to them. Hosanna, save us. Save us eternally is really what was happening. Have you cried out to Jesus in a rejoicing fashion to save you? Have you said that to Jesus? At last, Jesus, salvation's come to me. After a long way, oh my goodness, you're finally here. Thank you for being here in my life. Have you made a decision to have your relationship with Jesus and to follow him? Have you really accepted that fact? And have you accepted the fact that he can do so much more for you than what you think he's going to do? They thought it was going to be one thing, and Jesus is like, oh, I can raise you. I can do better than that. And he did. You have expectations for Jesus. I'm telling you, he's going to blow your mind. It's going to be so much more than what you ever expected. And all we have to do is cry out to him, Hosanna, save me. Thank you, after long last, you've saved me. And he just enters into your heart. He guides and directs you. You have a relationship with him. You get to reap the reward of all the work that he already did. Awesome. It's that easy, really. Then the last thing, the last element of a parade, a really good parade, must have a grand marshal in a fancy car or a tractor, top left. Shout out to my tractors again. Grand marshal, you know, it's a person of honor at a parade. This is kind of a duh point. You guys know who the grand marshal was, right? Yeah, Jesus was. We see the humble, peaceful king entering the city that he loved so much one last time. We see our grand marshal of our parade being honored and being called upon to save his people. Grand marshals often get a lot of honor and respect, don't they? They're at the front of the line. They get the nice little cars and everything's all done up for them. We see that the people treated Jesus with respect and honors. They laid down palms and they laid down their cloaks on the ground for him to go on. They're showing respect to him and admiration to him. So my question for you about our Grand Marshal is, do you show him the love, honor, and respect that he deserves? To me, I think what we can do to show love, honor, and respect to Jesus, our King, our humble King, is to love God with all we got and love people with all we got. It's that easy. That's that easy too. I'm breaking it down really simple for you today. If we just follow God completely and how he wants us to live our lives serving him and serving one another, we can show Jesus the honor and the respect that he deserves as our Grand Marshal in our parade today. What a lovely parade for a king. Wasn't this an awesome parade? Full of elements from our parades. You guys didn't know that I was going to compare that. But there's a lot of really great thoughts about this. I mean, I've heard this story for 49 years. And every time I read it, there's something new to get out of it. Or reminders from this story, from Palm Sunday. I asked a lot of questions today, and I really hope that you don't just shrug them off, but really take time this week to think about those things. It's an important week in our Christian lives, right? This is the week, man. This is the week. I hope you can spend time with God every single day and think about this week and what Jesus did for us. And think about some of these questions I posed to you today. Do you enjoy victory that you have in Jesus? Do you rejoice as you know that he's saved you? You cry out, Hosanna, every single day. Have you cried out and made a change in your life to follow Jesus? Have you let Jesus enter your heart to give you the peace that passes all understanding? Do you show him the honor and the respect that he is due? What he did for you. Wow, people. He loves us so much. He deserves our honor and respect and a place in our hearts at the top of the list. So please think on these things this week to really fully understand what Jesus did for us and what he is to us now as our Savior and our King in our lives. He came to fulfill all the things that we need, all of them. And he wants to be a king in your heart. Let him go in and march into your heart today. Don't miss the eternal meaning of all of this. It's not just a holiday that we celebrate. There's eternal implications here. Don't miss that during this week of our busyness and whatever we have going on with the holidays itself. King Jesus, the parade for a king today. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for this message, for the reminders, for these questions, God, that you posed to me this week. And I pray that we contemplate them, that we really understand them, and take to heart the meaning of you doing what you do this week. And today, entering into Jerusalem, God, to fulfill your mission. We are grateful for what you're going to do for us this week, God. Help us to be humbled and help us to love you and help us to love others, to show honor and respect back to you and what you've done for us. We have these lives right now, today, in this place because of what you did for us. And we are grateful. And we love you so much. And God, I pray for every single person in this place that they know who you are and they've let you become king in their life. God, help us grow closer and closer and closer to you. That's our heart's desire. In Jesus' name, amen.